Tonga Karina is kindly with us today. Parihaka Day is on Sunday, and it's celebrated to honour the leaders and the people of Parihaka who brought us a legacy of peace. In 1881, New Zealand government soldiers, including Nelson regiments, invaded the settlement of Parihaka. As most of us are aware, the rich kōrero from Parihaka needs to be shared more widely. There are many tools for us going forward when we look back to what occurred all those years ago. Tonga, thank you for joining us on the program once again, brother. Tēnā koe.
Morena, Dale. Kei te pēhea koe.
Kei te pai. Kia ora wātu, Ehwa. It's good to talk with you again, Tonga. Hey, so tell us about Parihaka Day. Obviously, there have been many and will continue well into the future, as it should. Who attends this annual Day of Remembrance, Ehwa?
Well, it's most of the time it's been provided for the morehu of the kāinga, which is the remnants, the surviving uri of the movement, and it's been quite an internal focus since we've been holding the pāhua as a means of healing, as a means of getting together and just trying to commemorate how our tupuna were at that time on the 5th of November 1881. So yeah, that's been the major focus over the years.
Tēnā koe, you've studied this situation academically also, Tonga. Do you live the legacy of Parihaka? Does it infiltrate our personal activity on a day-to-day basis? Could it? Should it?
I would think the new team to become part of the fabric of the community, that it will in some way or another infiltrate your own belief system, and you would start to apply that in your life. And so for me, definitely. But knowing that the community is diverse, and so there's many types of parihakatanga out there, and people would tend to align themselves with certain parts of it that resonate to them. So, in short, it's a complex movement, but it also can be very personal as well.
Tēnā koe, it's got a history of non-violence, and in there is a message when we see the devastation, the tragic loss of life, even now as we speak in Gaza and other parts of the world, of course, Tonga. We were left, as I say, some tools by the stand of our people in Parihaka, which is recognised internationally too. Do you think it resonates as strongly as it should with wider New Zealand, Tonga?
Yes. Well, Te Whiti and Tohu condemned the theft of our land, the dispossession of our people, what prompted them to form a community, a refugee community at that. And then they suffered from the hand of our scorched earth policy that the government employed, where our people were made landless, homeless, and then we weren't the only people disaffected. And so they called out to many iwi that came to seek that sanctuary and then continue the resistance through a different strategic tool of non-violent resistance. And people have described it as passive, but it was definitely far more active than it is in terms of being passive. So, yes, as you raised the issue around Gaza, you know, Parihaka itself, in our last monthly meeting, we brought that up, and being able to condemn the wanton violence that's been disproportionate to the activities of Hamas. And now that the killing's going up from 700 to 800 a day, the hospitals have been destroyed. So it's just the utter shame and of the way that our human society is allowing for the accommodation of this type of violence. And people that are slow off the bat to condemn it and then trying to take sides when there's a disproportionate amount of violence happening. And I think our prophets were clearly focused on the Crown's activities last century when they came along and they destroyed our villages and forced our people into a state of landlessness. Yes.
Tēnā koe tonga. I'm assuming that Parihaka Day is being acknowledged actually in Parihaka, but maybe I've got that wrong. Where is it being held?
Well, it's quite an organic narrative. You have a lot of people from different areas of the country who have become friends and believers of the of Parihaka, and a lot of them are attached to the hāhi, but are also involved in resistance. And so every November the 5th, they will apply some of their own practices in terms of celebrating non-violence. Particularly in Dunedin and Christchurch and Wellington. And so we have our own leaders there. And so, you know, and we've been trying to work with a group for many years now who want to dismantle Guy Fawkes Day and replace it. But, you know, there's an economic imperative attached to us sharing our narrative, right? So, and that's part of it, is if we become a national treasure, we want to leverage off that symbolism, knowing that we still have a long way to go to have our own physical infrastructure, our own economy thriving. And so it is that push and pull. And then we have the Crown Leaders Forum, where we're able to go there back every year and receive monies to rebuild ourselves and reconcile with our history. But definitely our community is very aware of where we come from and the ideology that the prophets espoused. And so this is a long-term thing. And so you can't just wave the flag, create a celebration until the community is ready. So, yeah.
It was a day of gross injustice, as we know, and it's a sad indictment on the colonial process in this mm-hmm. country, but also, you know, the intergenerational trauma that those events of that day of 1881 have had on the people of Taranaki, particularly of Parihaka. But even so, the willingness of the whānau from that community to share the richness of the legacy with others should never be understated. We are aiming to impart more accurate histories into our school curriculum, which is a good thing. How important do you think this Parihaka korero is to growing the minds of young New Zealanders?
Well, is peace a core subject in our schools? Is it a discipline in our universities? And then it sort of really begs the question, why is peace not doesn't have a high level of investment as a subject of inquiry in itself? And so, and then you would see that there's a higher investment into the stereotypical areas where violence, in terms of executive use of force, in terms of the police, the army, and what they actually represent, and which is going out to incarcerate or going out to kill people, and the extent to which that actually features within a need for our community. It's part of the way that we would inquire as to the role of peace studies in our schools and in our universities. And so, but in our communities, if we're going to start bringing that into our narrative and our discourse, then that would be a critical part of shifting and transforming our community away from the normalized, accepted forms of violence that we have already, and then start to explore different narratives within different iwi and their peacemaking processes that they've applied, one to settle with the crown and start to build whānau and hapū that are trying to move away from this constant state of violence when the crown is the particularly responsible for, as well as ourselves. And just having that forefront as a fundamental part of our thinking, reflection, and our behaviours, it's a great way of just trying to heal and not being afraid to put injustices on the table to share and critique and then challenge. And so, and that becomes a daily conversation, and it should be quite normal. And when you come to Parihaka, you can see the polarizing space that it can be because of the way that the prophet set it up. And so, yeah, I think it's healthy. And definitely when calling out injustice when it's there, and being able to have a non-violent response as being the fundamental practice to do that. Mm.
Tēnā koe. Hey, Tonga, did you get your PhD? Should I be calling you a doc?
Oh, look, full-time worker, governance. You know, I mix up. I'm scholarly. I'm a scholar activist.
A scholarly activist. Like, very good, brother.
I'm a scholar activist, yeah. So I'm going to be submitting next June. So that's in public now. And, yeah, I'm in my last chapter. And I've interviewed some mātanga reo from the Haukainga. And they've shared some of their traumas, their hopes. And so I'm really happy to capture their voice in te reo and start to set up a foundation of what parihaka tanga is within the framework of peace studies. So, it's coming, Dale. There you can call me a doctor in a few months.
Good on you, soon-to-be Dr. Carlin. Hey, just finally, bro, there was a peace centre or something, some significant educational facility planned for parihaka. I wonder where that's at.
Oh, you mean the visitor centre?
Yeah.
Yes. So there's interestingly, trying to work with the Crown and rebuild our physical, our socio-political infrastructure comes with different challenges, especially in the scoping of the right projects that we need to pursue. So and we have three marae there that are struggling to meet the infrastructure needs. So the visitor centre one day will definitely be there. But being able to, rework our projects in a way that takes care of the Haukainga first, that's been the new priority at the moment. So watch the space. But definitely when people come to Parihaka, we want to be able to accommodate and manaaki them in a way that we're well-resourced and capable to do so. So, yeah.
It's been great having a kōrero with you. It's a special day. And yes. It's really neat to meet somebody who is not affected by road rage. good on you, Tom. We've got a lot to live and learn. The legacy of Parihaka. Thanks so much for sharing some kōrero with us, Ewa.
You're welcome. Kia pai tōko tau nāra. Nā mihi.
Nā mana ki tēnā. Kia koe. Te rangatere. Tēnā koe, Tonga. Tonga Kārena. Johnny Sompaki Waha.